Leadership, it's more than just a title. It's a journey shaped by decisions, fueled by experiences, and defined by stories. And some of the most powerful stories are the ones you haven't heard just yet. The stories are real, insights game-changing, and the leaders, they're right here. I'm excited. Welcome to Leadership Unscripted. Today we are joined by a dear friend, Mr. Rishi Gupta, MD and CEO at Finos Payment Bank. Rishi has got an extensive background in finance and a very deep commitment to sustainable and financial inclusion. And he's a very passionate person when it comes to reaching the last mile, or Bharat banking, as I might say. Rishi, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Prateek, and thank you for the Leadership Unscripted by ENY.
No, so this is totally unscripted. I really want to know Rishi more than anything else, and how Rishi thinks. Having known you, I'm really looking forward to this conversation. So Rishi, just going back a few years, in your journey, tell us about your formative years and how you entered into financial services before we sort of fast forward to Fino Payments Bank today.
Thank you, Prateek. So I actually come from Delhi, and I did my schooling, college, everything in Delhi. I was in Shri Ram College, so did my commerce there. So you can understand, in Shri Ram, most of the conversations are on financial side, around that. So after that, I did my CA and ICWA. That time, the 92-93 scam had happened. So there was not many opportunities in financial services. Anyway, the financial services industry was very, very small compared to the size which we have currently, and the opportunities and options are very limited. So I joined Maruti for a couple of years, but my dream was always to work in financial services company. And that point of time, there's an opportunity which came in ICICI Limited, which became the bank in 2002. So during that period, I joined the project finance team of ICICI Limited, and then we became part of the ICICI Bank. During that time also, I had this vision in terms of, or that I want to work in a bank. I wanted to work in a financial services. When I was in Maruti, I used to go to office thinking that at some point I will switch from manufacturing to financial services. And that gave me an opportunity in 96 when I joined ICICI Limited, and never looked back after that. So somehow the passion for numbers and the interest in financial services really drove me into this field.
And you joined the leadership factory at ICICI Bank. I think everyone who's been in ICICI Bank and in project finance is in a leadership role. So tell me more about, you know, the time you spent in ICICI Bank.
I'll tell you some. I was in Delhi office, in the zonal office of ICICI Limited. Sandeep, who is the current MD CEO of ICICI Bank, was our zonal head at that point of time. And we always, a lot of I would say independence was given to the team, and there was a lot of good quality, very high standards, professional skills of people which were there. And the depth of the people and the depth of the knowledge and the engagement which we had used to have with founders, CEOs, CFOs of the companies for project finance gave us that exposure. I think the depth of leadership comes from the fact that ICICI really puts you into the grind, and they let you swim in the deep waters, and then over a period of time, because of the hardship and the difficulties and the amount of exposure you get in ICICI, and whether ICICI Limited or the bank, I think really grooms you. I think a lot of it goes into the DNA of the organization, the way ICICI has built leaders, and one after the other, there is so much of depth in ICICI leadership, and you would see across all financial services companies, and you will find plenty of people from ICICI who are very senior, and in fact at the CXO's position in many organizations. I think the way the entire organization takes care of you and grooms you over a period of time really makes you very different.
And you are one of those, you know, startup is a new word, but you are really the startup guy when it comes to financial services. When it came to Fino Paytech and then Fino Payments Bank, and that entire journey, and a very different non-conventional model, if I may say, compared to when we talk about bank, the first thing we think about is a branch. And you sort of revolutionize that, saying, yes, there is a financial inclusion, but we don't need to think about branch. So tell us about that startup mindset. Where did that come from?
You're absolutely right, Prateek. So when we started in 2006, at that point of time, I had moved away from ICICI. I moved to IFC. I was in IFC Washington, Delhi office. And then this opportunity came in. ICICI started to look at how we can deepen financial inclusion. And under Nachiket, who was the that point of time executive director with the bank, was interested to set up a remote banking kind of an ecosystem. So ICICI decided that let it be a separate company rather than being part of ICICI.
Right.
And at that point of time, our vision was how do we deepen financial services. And in 2006, there was no word as startup. Startup only came around 2009, 2010 Correct. When Flipkarts of the world started to grow.
Yeah.
So during that point of time, we started a company. And ICICI put in seed capital into the company, and then over the next five seven years, we brought in more investors like IFC, like Intel, Blackstone, and some of the other investors at the holding company level. So the thought process at that point of time also was how do we actually make it sustainable? And the objective of, or you can say, while we came with an objective that there is ICICI behind us. But ICICI was not thinking that way. ICICI said, we have put in seed capital, now you guys run your company. And ICICI has built a lot of companies in which they have invested and they have let the leaders or the founding team flourish and grow the business. So it from a setup like IFC, where we had everything, we never had to really think about salaries and how do we manage our expenses, to a setup where we had to manage our expenses and salaries. And seed capital was only seed capital. It could only take us through that much time into the journey. But that is where we started to build up the entire business. And we realized very early in our life as a new company that everybody is on its own and we have to build it from scratch. And fortunately for us, we got a lot of people who supported us in the journey. In fact, some anecdotal things, if I would say, that when we used to go to a bank to get some financial inclusion mandate that we'll set up a doorstep banking for you, they said, how can you set up a doorstep banking, because the customers have to come to the branch and that's how the transaction happens. We have never seen a model where you will go to the customer's home or closer to his home and you will enable transactions with security systems, technology. That time India was in a very different zone.
Correct.
Today it is a very different zone. So what we are visualizing today, or we are doing actually today, visualizing way back 15, 18 years back was very difficult.
Correct.
And to get people realize that it is possible and to entrust the young team to make it possible. And you know, banking, you've been at the heart of it, is not a very easy business. And a lot of trust of the customer and a lot of security systems have to be built in.
Correct.
So a few people from various banks, I would say. So we got good mandates from public sector banks, some other private sector banks. So we started that journey, and that's how the entire build-up happened. But there was no startup as such. But coming from a DNA where we thought sustainability is key to our strength, so we always build up a business in which we can eventually make some money. Doing business for social purpose was never our objective.
How difficult was convincing a lot of folks around the vision of what you want to achieve, yet be profitable, yet achieve the financial inclusion objective? And you know, where a lot of folks are opinionated in banking, where there is this only way of banking that needs to be done. You know, how was that part?
It was now it looks very simple, but the struggle was quite there.
The struggle was
getting the right audience in some of the banks was also very difficult. But fortunately, we got some of the leaders, like I would say Mr. M.V. Nair, who was the MD, chairman MD of Union Bank.
Right.
Mr. Samba Murthy was with Corporation Bank, and Mr. Chakrabarty was with Indian Bank. So luckily, we had that people. We also have the ICICI backing. So these three people plus ICICI helped us in a way to get to some mandates with some banks. But getting within them also was very difficult. I remember we should go and meet GMs. They said, this kind of banking we have not seen. So how will it work? Okay, we understand you are a technology company. But our people will not go door to door to do banking services. So you will have to put a team together. So we built up a Section 25 company who was into servicing. So that's how we moved from a technology company to a servicing company. Because you have to go there on the ground to actually make that happen. So it was quite difficult, different people to visualize that you can do a banking in a pocket or a doorstep banking kind of terminologies were thrown at us. And eventually, I think the success started to come in when people started to use our services and merchants started to come and build. I would say over the years, the government benefit transfers have also started to move through the channel, which has further strengthened and given them a assured revenue over a period of time. But it was a very path-breaking event at that. And coming to your part of sustainability, how do you... So this model itself, we were very sure that we eventually have to make money.
Correct.
And technology, fortunately, was there. So when we started, at that point of time, the 2G, 3G, 2G was there. So connectivity was not bad.
Correct.
Not good. The electricity issues were still there. The identity problem was there. But with 2009, 2012 onwards, the entire UPI stack, the entire Aadhaar stack came in.
Yeah.
The Jio effect started to roll in.
Yeah.
And the NPCI came out with lot of technology interventions. So the India stack actually helped us to make it scalable.
Yeah.
So if I would say that before India stack came in, we were doing a sizable amount of business, but the scale at which we are today would not have been possible without that.
That is true. And you know, through this experience, because you know, most of the banking that you do is touching Bharat, and you know, and you're working very closely with the merchants, the Kirana shops who are really acting, you know, from Paytech to the SFB, who've really been acting as you know, bank, mini banks, as if I may say, you know, if you can share some anecdotes as you meet, you know, some of these, you know, Kirana shops or folks at the merchants, how has some of the lives changed? You know, again, I'm asking this because, again, for our viewers who are used to the traditional banks, you know, in urban places, I, you know, your experiences will be very good to for
See,
them to
it's
know.
A very different world. So the moment you move out of your cozy offices, even at where we are, if you go watch down, you will see a lot of those slums and everybody. But those customers are also need to be serviced.
Right.
So they had a big challenge, which we call CSR, convenience, simplicity, and respect. So the entire model of, you know, we build around the CSR, which is we may want to make it convenient so that the customer can come at 7 a.m. in the morning till 10 p.m. in the night, because the merchants are open. They have a Kirana shop or any other mom and pop shop where the walk-in is already happening.
Correct.
So the customer is coming to the point to buy some grocery or do some activity or buy some recharge or something.
Yeah.
So during that process, the merchant actually pitches to the customer if you want to transfer money, if you want to withdraw cash, if you want to open an account, if you want to do any other banking services, I have got Fino, they can enable us banking. So building the trust of the customer and also the trust of the merchant. So India, this entire entrepreneurship is very high, and we look at entrepreneurship only at our levels. But you go down and you see all those small shops, all of them are entrepreneurs. They are building businesses. They know how to run businesses.
Yeah.
Even if they are not very educated, but they understand the value of money. They understand the denomination. Even the customer understands it.
Yeah.
So the fact that they wanted to make something extra, so they also would look at how a stickiness of a customer will come in. So if a customer is coming to a point to buy groceries, and if he is able to, in the same process, withdraw cash rather than going to an ATM, next time if he needs cash, he will come and buy something. So
correct.
From a customer point of view, a walk-in customer is converted into a sticky customer, and then he also makes money in the process.
Yeah.
And because he already has cash with him, doesn't need more cash to circulate. So from a customer, it's an augmentation of income, it's creation of jobs for them. From a customer point of view, for the merchant, is the augmentation of income and a job creation. From a customer point of view, it's a lot of convenience to him.
Yeah.
Very simple. Through the Aadhaar platform, you open an account, you can do transactions. Lot of respect, because you don't need to wait in if you go to any other branch, which is, and if you go rural, the more you travel, maybe 50, 100 kilometers outside the metros, you will see that the number of branches and the condition of branches and the kind of footfall in the branches is super high. So in that, if your customer has to wait for 2-3 hours, his entire day is wasted.
Absolutely.
Here it is done in few minutes. So he saves his travel time, he saves his half day, which would otherwise go wasted. So a lot of convenience, simplicity and a lot of respect has been built up in the entire model, both for the customer as well as for the merchant. Because the merchant also becomes like a banker.
Yeah.
Toh banker ban gaya hu, banker babu hu main. So he gets respect in his village.
Right.
And the customer gets service. So it's an entire model in which all the stakeholders, whether it is the customer or the merchants or intermediaries or banks like us, all of us benefit because we create this inclusion. The entire model of payments bank was designed to deepen financial inclusion. And I think it has served the purpose.
No, and I think just cracking this model, you know, getting merchants to think like, you know, getting customers in, you know, and then the tech that you build, you know,
absolutely,
there are organizations who spend so much money around tech and, you know, you built a tech which is frugal while still serving this purpose. You know, how do you, you know, when you thought about this and when you brought it all together, you know, were there sort of folks who challenged it, who said, you know, who were naysayers, who said this cannot be done? Or are you thinking something else that you're getting merchants to become bankers by the day? You know, I just want to hear, you know, how, when all of this was getting built.
See, if I go back 2006, 2007, that time the challenge was much more. And
because there was no stack.
There was no stack.
Yeah.
Even telcos were not there in rural India. So from that point of view, the challenges were far more. If I fast forward to the payments bank in 2016-17, the concept of payments bank is that you deepen financial services, you provide them basic transaction services, open an account,
right,
and take some small deposit, but you can't lend.
Yeah.
So how can there be a bank which doesn't lend?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of naysayers that this model will not work, and whatever it could be, the 11 licenses were issued and only 6 of them became functional.
Yeah.
So from the beginning, only the 5 people dropped out. So that further accentuated the entire situation that how will the payments bank model run. But we were very sure in terms of that these are the boundary conditions, these are the guardrails in which the license has been issued, and eventually we have to make it, as I said, sustainability is in our DNA. So we thought that to build this we have to keep our costs very, very low.
Yeah.
And fortunately, as I said, the India stack, all that thing came around the same time.
Yeah.
Even Supreme Court allowed the Aadhaar usage for financial services around the same time. So all of them came together and we built up a super efficient, cost-effective technology, state-of-the-art technology kind of a platform. And we thought through technology only it is possible to reach the last mile, because you need to provide them safe, secure and speed. All the three S has to be there. So from a customer, he's giving you money, so trust has to be built in.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, we said we'll have to build up a low-cost model. If we go through a branch model and start making branches, do servicing, and how much branches, and we were competing with the telcos who got the payments bank license, and people who have a very far distribution. So we said, let's build up on the agent model. It's a variable model, and a part of our income will be shared with the merchant. So the merchant also makes money, and you are also making money, but you don't run a very heavy fixed cost. So the building of the asset light model at a very low operating cost was the basic theme on which we built up the entire business for the bank. And technology was the biggest thing, which we call the, which I coined DTP, distribution technology and partnerships. So large distributions, because you need to be a pan-India scalable business. Technology is at the center of everything, and through partners. Now we have more than 250 partners through which we do multiple services, whether it's a banking services or cash management or payment services. So the entire DTP approach actually helped us to build up the payments bank model. And we were the first, in fact, we were the first payments bank which got the private sector scheduled license. We also were the first to become profitable.
Yes.
We were also the first to list, first and only one to list.
Only one.
And probably we are the only one which is a tax paying payments bank. Because from this year onwards, we have become profitable, and we have become profitable in the last 3-4 years.
Right.
But we have written back all our losses.
The past losses. Yeah.
So we have become profitable, and so we are now, we have become tax paying payments bank now. So we are probably the only payments bank which is paying taxes to the government also.
Given now you become tax paying and giving, it's time for government to give back, and I think there is maturity now with the whole digital infrastructure, from receiving money to lending money. You know, again, you're thinking very frugal, asset light. what's the thought process, assuming, you know, license and everything, you have to wait for it, but.
Yeah, so from a payments bank point of view, actually payments bank licenses came 10 years back.
Right.
And during that process, the entire payment ecosystem has completely changed. You can say with the advent of fintech companies, the UPI stack, a lot of other payment options have come up. So we feel that the payments ecosystem in future needs to be added with something more.
Yes.
So we have applied to RBI for a small finance bank license last year. And we are hopeful that the license will, we'll probably get the license in some time.
Amen.
Our objective of payments bank to SFB continues with the same DNA from a BC to a payments bank.
Right.
So as an SFB, we will continue to continue with the same DNA which we have, which largely revolves around the triple D strategy, which is distribution, data and digital.
Okay.
So we have a large distribution of about 7-8 lakh our own merchants and another 10 lakh partner merchants, so total 18 lakh part merchants. We have customer data of 1.4 crore customers as of now. Nearly another 2 crore customer comes to our platform every month to do various transactions. And nearly 40-45 lakh of that 1.4 crore customers are also digital. So I'm also able to build a lot of UPI history.
Yeah.
And the merchant also has a lot of data. So the entire data, digital and the distribution will actually take us home. And we want to build up a very low cost, again, asset-light, low-cost model as an SFB. So if I have to build the same SFB like any other SFB,
it will be a me too model.
So there is no real interest and excitement in that. And if you are 10, you will be probably 11. So what difference does it make?
Yeah.
But we want to create a very differentiated approach in the SFB, like just like the way we have done in a payments bank.
Yeah.
So let's hope so. A lot of plans are in works as of now. And we are waiting for the green signal and then we'll probably start rolling it out.
Well, good
but
luck
I've said
with that.
That as a payments bank, we want to be a bullet train. But when it comes to SFB or a lending, we want to be a malgadi. So goods train ki tarah aram aram se chalenge, koi jaldi nahi hai.
Stop at every stop and make
and
sure.
Learn, build and then grow.
Yeah, test and grow, test and grow.
Absolutely.
Good luck with that and I'm sure it's about to happen soon. Let's fingers crossed for that.
Thank you.
You know, the reason I was asking all these questions, you know, to me there is a combination of leadership but a lot of entrepreneurial streak that every time I interact with you, Rishi, I get a sense that you think like an entrepreneur. You know, what would be your advice to some of our younger viewers who look at careers in financial services and otherwise, you know, because you know, to build an unconventional business like you have built, it takes a lot of conviction in your mind.
Time, conviction, patience.
Patience, which is very difficult
very
to find
difficult in today's generation.
In today's generation. So your advice and thoughts, you know, for them.
See, one is important part is that whether you are looking at a question from an entrepreneurship point of view or as an employee. So at some point, I think the younger generation which is there, I think a lot of them now starts. Even if they are working as an employee, they start thinking like an entrepreneur and they want to do something more.
Yeah.
I think the copycat, the cut-paste copy model which we grew up with, I think that is not the model which everybody wants to follow, the younger generation doesn't want to follow. So when I look at the entrepreneurship journey of in today's world or for the younger generation, I think what is important is the fact that it has to be built over a period of time. This SMS or the Insta reel kind of a mindset in businesses and especially when it comes to financial services probably will not hold. And I have seen a lot of fintechs and other companies which have come up, but they have lacked a lot of governance as such. So building up a model which is well governed, which is compliant, which is well regulated in a way, and you have the systems in place to manage it, I think takes a lot of conviction. The ability to say no is not very easy to come. And the fact that the younger generation doesn't have that kind of a patience to build it over a longer period of time, that's why some people take shortcuts. I would say there are no shortcuts to success. You will have to go through the same rigor. The more you invest in building up the team, the more you invest in getting the right products and right audience to whom you want to sell, and with the right compliance and governance mindset, I think that's the only way in financial services business you can succeed.
Yeah.
Compared to financial services, other businesses which are in consumer and other businesses are fairly, I would say, from governance is there in every business, but being regulated makes a life a little bit more difficult. So I would say that anybody who's getting into FS business, especially in this new generation, has to come with a maybe 15 to 20 year view. Coming with a 2-3-5 year view may not give you good results. Short term successes could be there, but over a long term business, you are building businesses. You would say, people say banks are built over generations. It takes decades for the banks to actually come up, and same is for FS business also.
Correct. No, I think all relevant points for folks to think about, you know, thinking long term, thinking about, you know, having that conviction of sticking to what you stand for.
Building with the right principles.
And with the right design principles. Yeah. Tell me, how is it with your leadership team? And, you know, if they had to describe a day with Rishi Gupta, how does that pan out? You know, are you sort of impatient? Are you... I've seen you, so, but I just want for the viewers, you know, because again, definition of a leader is very different in minds of people in terms of who a leader is, what a leader looks like, how do leaders manage large teams. That's the reason I'm sort of asking you this question.
See, lot of leadership, and especially the leaders at our level, and it's not built overnight. It's built over your last 30 years, 25 years of journey. And these are small things. Which I don't know whether you've read this book, Atomic Habits, which says that you build something, a habit is built over a period of time. And small things adds up to that. So my entire grooming, I would say, started from the fact that I was not a very good student till up to a particular class. And then all of a sudden, I started liking the subjects, and that is how I started to develop interest and build up my education curriculum. And then I joined Maruti. Maruti, for many people, is like an automobile. If you have worked in industry, the amount of detailing you have to do and the discipline. See, if you are at the machine shop and you're not there, the piling will happen. So the discipline of punching your card at 9 a.m. in the morning every day is something which is very difficult in today's generation. Yeah. But the discipline and the detailing and the ability to learn came from those early days in Maruti. And then I was fortunate to have an excellent set of people at ICICI, very, very deep knowledge, super good group of people. A lot of my principles around doing business comes from Sandeep. I have been known him for more than 30 years now. Yeah. And a lot of his thinking he has been sharing as a boss, and he was our chairman also as Fino Paytech for many years. So a lot of those thinking and designs have been built into, engraved into, you can say, over the last 30 years. So whether it is humility, whether it is getting into detailing, whether it is giving freedom also to people at relevant times, I think a lot of those design elements have come over a period of time. And the fact that you have to give room to your employees, and you can't be doing their job. So my principle of doing business is that I don't get into their shoes, I don't get into doing what they are doing. Because there are only so many hours in a day. I have to keep my hours free so that I can think for the future. As a CEO, my job is to think more strategic rather than doing more execution.
Absolutely.
We have people in execution. So if you don't have trust in your people, then might as well not have them. But if they are there, you have to give them the job so that they can do. You can guide them, help them. But don't take their response, don't make their responsibility as your responsibility. End of the day, they have to do their job, and you are supposed to do your job. So my principles are around that fact that you have to make everybody while accountable and make them responsible, but also give them
space,
freedom. And I generally don't keep myself super busy throughout the day, calling for meeting, calling for everything. Everything is delegated, and there are people who are taking individual decisions and coming to their doing their job.
Taking a step forward, I mean, if you take 2030 in the next 5 years, I mean, a lot of folks have talked about future of banking, but I'll put it very differently. You servicing Bharat, what trends are you seeing in the Bharat that we see? And therefore, how will banking evolve in the next 5 years to service the real heartland of our country?
The rural India is a big believer of do-it-yourself, DIY. And it's very aspirational. So a driver or even in Bombay or in Mumbai, even the drivers and maids, they would like to make payments through UPI because they see their bosses, their employers do that.
That is true.
So that is where I see the aspiration will actually drive, and the rural Indians are more hungry. Like I would say that when India was in 60s, 70s, 80s, lot of Indians went abroad and settled abroad, and they were really hungry and they really worked hard to build their lives and the lives of their kids, which we see today. The same way the rural Indians, the rural younger population is much hungrier than our folks at in urban metro cities, because they have their desires are already taken care of in a way.
But I would do want to emphasize on a lot of things that you mentioned. There are a lot of nuggets of wisdom here. The future customer or in the next 5 years is a lot more informed, is a lot more impatient.
Yeah.
The rural India is a lot more aspirational.
Yeah.
I think banking digital. Is digital savvy. Banking is going to be as invisible as it can be in terms of day to day. And they have no qualms in doing it themselves, because that's how they feel that they are really being more savvier.
Absolutely.
And therefore, the way the banks, you know, be it Fino or otherwise, the way the banks will have to approach them will be very, very different.
Very, very, it has to be, because even lending, I would say payments and accounts have moved to digital in a big way.
Yeah.
But lending even still has not moved. I was told there are a lot of land records, and now, in fact, the entire stamp payments and everything has also moved
getting
digitally.
Digitized, yes.
So when it's become digital, the amount of ease which will come in doing those hypothecations and everything else for lending documents will also become much easier now.
Yeah, with the AgriStack, anyways, a lot of the agricultural data records are getting digitized. The crop and the acreage, the yield is all getting digitized through the AgriStack. So I'm really hoping that in the next 4-5 years, especially with your sustainable and financial inclusion goals, you could have a situation where a fruit vendor can, you know, get a loan during the start of the day, do his transactions at the end of the day, make the payment, and can keep running the business and keep growing the business.
I'll give you one example. So this is a coconut guy in Delhi. His name is Pappu, he's in Shalimar Bagh, and visited him about 2-3 weeks back. So he has our Fino QR code, and I saw his account. He's already 50,000 rupees of deposit in the bank in the first 15-20 days of this month. And he said that jab paise main jama kar raha hu for my daughter's wedding, so main isko nikalunga nahi, jo mera cash mein ho raha hai usse main apna business chala leta hu. This money I'm going to keep it. So he becomes a perfect case for lending tomorrow. So if he wants to grow his business, we can lend him, because the transaction data is now captured in the bank account.
Correct.
So if you look at, visualize this 10-20 years in future, maybe not even 10-25
years. 5 years.
There's a big transformation which is going to happen on lending side.
Yeah. No, and not only lending, I think the ancillary pieces around, you know, insurance and coverage,
mutual funds,
his ability to do financialization of his savings, that's the real India that is waiting to be
unleashed. So the gap between Bharat and India
is collapsing. Yeah.
And maybe salaries differences are still there.
Yeah.
But the way they do business and the way we do business is going to collapse at some point of time.
Yeah. And I think that is what is the most exciting
part. Look at the
part.
Opportunity, 600 million people who have been deprived or who didn't have the data or the way to borrow money, now we'll be able to have an access to it. So it's a big opportunity sitting in front of us.
And it positions also you and your business model very uniquely, because while there are a lot of financial services companies that are focused on covering India, I think being always Bharat focused allows a very, very different, because you've lived and, you know, sort of experienced this for the last many years.
And Bharat is not about in rural India. Bharat is there in Mumbai also.
Absolutely.
Just below our building.
It is the driver, it is the maid, it is everyone else.
Yeah, everybody is there.
Absolutely.
So that's the larger set of the population we are focusing on. It's not very glamorous business, so you will not see us in billboards and other places. But yes, it is a very, very, it's a business where you get, make money and you have a social impact also.
And it is very fulfilling as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
How, from your business standpoint, you're planning to sort of think about leveraging it in the next 3-4 years so as you grow?
We are already quite active on machine learning and data analytics. AI is the next step in that journey. So we have picked up 3-4 areas where we are looking at, especially when it comes to fraud, fraud management, fraud detection, fraud entire framework around fraud. That is one area. The second is we are also looking at it as a customer relationship management tool rather than having a CRM per se. So we are looking at a CRM which is also linked to the call center, IVR. How do we make it better? How do we make the call center lives better? I think the third area which we are focusing quite is on the InfoSec, on the IT side. So the IT management, the security management, the cyber security, the entire docket around it is where we believe AI is there. AI has multiple usages. We believe AI will help us to do our business better. And as we scale our business, for every scale, we don't need to add so many people. Through AI, we'll be able to probably do it better. And within the cost is there. There will be an initial investment because of the AI development as also for the GPUs. But I think it will pay over a period of time. I don't see any bank or any FS business, even other businesses, survive in the next 10 years without bringing AI at the core of.
Absolutely.
If technology was at the core of business, now AI has to become at the core of your business.
Absolutely. No, you're very right. We'll shift gears to a second segment, which is Flash Finesse. It's our take on rapid fire questions. We'll fire
into my gift hamper.
That will follow as you reach office. So these are things that first come to your mind, and all are good answers. So fire away. One word to describe Fino's impact to the society.
One word, I think very difficult to say what is the impact. I think ability to do banking at the doorstep.
Okay. Describe your leadership style. One word.
Family.
I've seen that. The entire team actually operates like a family. I've seen that. What's the first thing you do when you go to office?
I check my emails.
Check your emails. One risk you took in life that paid off?
Moving from Delhi to Bombay when my kids were still in school. From a joint family to a nuclear family, from a proper the Delhi houses, you know.
Yes.
To a 2 BHK in Bombay and then growing it up.
What a Mumbai Raj aa gaye?
Mumbai abhi to 18 saal ho gaye hain to abhi to my kids are more Mumbai than Delhi.
Right. One piece of advice you would give your younger self?
Be more risk-taking.
Okay. If there was one leader you would want to have a coffee with, like a chat like this, who would be?
I think Ratan Tata.
One best advice you've ever received that you always use it even day to day?
You are in a position and somebody else was there in that position before you. So don't get too attached to the position. It's like a hotel room.
Yeah.
When you move into a hotel room, you just look at the room getting out. You don't spend time. It's not like a home.
It's a fiduciary room.
So in your own position, if you are holding a chair, don't get too much attached to the chair. So that it will become difficult for you. You are there tomorrow, somebody else will be there. Yesterday, somebody else was there.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a flow. Okay. Big data or human intuition?
Human intuition. Actually, both.
Both.
Big data, and because when I look at data, it really helps me to take more informed decisions.
Add your human intuition on top.
Informed decisions come from the data only.
Early bird or night owl?
Early bird.
Okay. Big picture or fine details?
Big picture now at this level. Mm.
Street food or fine dining?
Street food. I'm a foodie. When I go to Delhi, I have all the chola bhatura, bedmi, aloo, tikki chaat, everything.
Thank you, Rishi.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And it was really lovely to have you, and very useful insights for our audience. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Pratik. Thank you, and all the best for your leadership, Unscripted.
Thank you.